Hey, David, are you on Google?
Okay, we're recording.
Time is 6:30. The chair will call the meeting to order. Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
David Holman?
Present.
Aaron Decker?
Here.
Boyd Frederick?
Here.
Angie Montemurro?
Here.
Ian Mudo?
Here.
Anita Johnson?
Here.
Jacob Gessner?
Here.
Stephanie Carugula?
I did not hear from her.
Okay. And David Arrington?
Here.
Okay. Agenda item 2, citizen comments. Are there any citizens that wish to speak? You have 5 minutes to address the committee. Please state your name and address for the record.
Jack Rose, 4315 68th Street. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I have a document here, and it's really for information. And this comes from the Kenosha County Mental Health and PODA Services Committee, which I'm chairman. And it's going to go to members of the Joint Finance Committee, as well as the Kenosha County Legislative Delegation and the Kenosha County Board. The Kenosha County Mental Health and ALDA Services Committee would like to share the following concerns about the state's budget proposal. Mental health. We applaud the efforts to expand funding for comprehensive community services, which has been invaluable to the path of recovery for persons with mental illness. Access to state match for federal dollars would help us strengthen community-based services that keep our people out of hospitals and jails. We are concerned, however, about the provision that would require regionalization for counties to access the state match. By their nature, these services must be provided within communities. We hope that counties will be allowed to demonstrate that they can cost-effectively serve people within their own boundaries. Likewise, peer-run respite centers included in the budget will be most effective if they are located within communities of the people they serve, rather than at a distance from family and other community supports. Two, transit services. Public transportation, specialized transportation are important to the people we represent. Please retain segregated fund for transportation and restore the 10% cut that was made in the last budget. Three, Medicaid Badger Care, a reduction in the eligibility level from 200% of the federal poverty level to 100% will mean that many of the working poor will lose their Medicaid insurance coverage, will likely not be able to afford the exchanges, and those with mental illness will turn to the county for help with psychiatric care. Accepting the federal Medicaid expansion money would allow Wisconsin to serve uninsured persons up to 133% of federal poverty level, at little cost to the state. Four, Medical Assistance Purchase Plan, MAPP. We appreciate efforts to strengthen incentives for people with disabilities to work without losing access to Medicaid. However, we hope that the proposed changes to MAPP will be modified or delayed so that people with significant disabilities who use volunteer work to qualify won't lose their health care coverage with a requirement for taxable income. Additionally, we need more supported employment programs to address challenges and match individuals' abilities with job opportunities. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Lawrence Hamlet, Bush, and Niagara's 3018 86th Street in Kenosha. And I'm here to ask your support of the resolution in support of alternative treatment courts. The resolution is clear and concise. Bush and our statewide affiliates and the Wisdom Organization realize that there is a great need for funding for treatment courts and for programs for nonviolent, low-risk offenders afflicted with substance abuse or mental illness. The resolution before you this evening indicates the value of these courts. Individuals are restored to health, communities are safer because of less recidivism, and tax money is saved. Intensive research has been done to substantiate the effectiveness, success, and savings of alternative treatment courts. It is important that funding of the state budget be increased and available for these courts to continue making Wisconsin a healthier, smarter, and crime state. We must invest in what works and treatment for its work. Thank you.
Anyone else?
My name is Lois Day. Address is 6724 27th Avenue. Tonight I'm speaking in support of the resolution in support of alternative treatment courts lawsuit. On November 5th, 2012, my son's life changed forever. At 22, he was convicted of a drug felony for possession of drugs, drug paraphernalia. After 3 years of trying to fight his heroin addiction, the only way out in his mind was to end his life. I called the police. He was arrested. The only choice I felt I had left. He spent 8 months in Rockford, Illinois, at the Rockford Rescue Mission, getting his life back. He got a second chance. He didn't end up in jail. He's not a criminal, nor a bad person. He's a young man, like so many others, that made poor choices. The people affected by his choices were himself and his family. Corey could have ended up in jail behind bars. Instead, he is actively searching for employment, which is difficult when you have to check that little box that says you've been convicted of a felony. He spent the past 3 months volunteering his time coaching middle school wrestlers. The head coach gave him a second chance. Together, they are now in the process of developing a wrestling program to keep at-risk youth engaged in positive activities this summer. Corey is giving back to the community. On June 23rd, Corey will celebrate 2 years drug-free. Currently, treatment alternatives and diversions, the TAD programs, operate in only 7 of Wisconsin's 72 counties because of limited state funding. With your vote, you can help bring funding to Kenosha County. We need treatment alternatives here. My son ended up in Rockford, Illinois, because there were no long-term inpatient treatment centers here in Kenosha. Every day, a part of your paycheck is spent on keeping young, nonviolent kids in need of treatment, like my son, behind bars. Is that how you want to spend your hard-earned dollars? I will never forget some of Judge Wagner's words to Corey. She told him, "You are one in a million. Not too many kids beat this. They end up dead. Your family is lucky you're alive." And I can agree.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Name and address for the record, please.
My name is Andrew Singer. I'm a recovering drug addict alcoholic. On January 21st, 2012, I was arrested for felony possession with intent to deliver marijuana. I was bailed out a few days later, only to be arrested again a month later for misdemeanor possession, obstruction, and 3 counts of felony bail jumping. After being incarcerated for a month, I decided to attempt sobriety yet again. 2.5 months later, on April 25th, 2012, I was accepted into the Kenosha County Drug Court Program. Since then, I had remained sober, become independent, living life on life's terms, without trying to get away with things that only lead to jails, institutions, and death. Without drug court, I believe my probationary needs would simply not be met. I have been using drugs on and off for almost 10 years, and at a point, it became a lifestyle I felt I could not escape from. My probation officer, Jacqueline Gatlin, has been there for me and had my best interest when my own family has not. They have motivated me to support and see my 2 children on a regular basis, seek education and employment, focus on sobriety, and be assertive in my own life rather than complacent. Today, I have been in the program for over a year, and in that time, I have not violated probation or used drugs or alcohol, not even once. I have been on probation 2 times prior to this for similar offenses. The first time, I sold marijuana, drank, and used. The second time, I had stayed sober for the most part, besides drinking early on in my term. However, my only plan was to use again when I got done. Today, I am happy, healthy, and have the respect I needed for myself to have the confidence to stay sober in a city with so many drinkers, smokers, and drug users. I have myself on the right track now because drug court has given me the resources and tools to help me realize why being sober is worth it and to stick to it no matter what. Please consider putting into this program the trust and the faith it has given me to move on from the horrible downward spiral path I was headed down and give people like me the hope and reason to not be afraid of healthy and legitimate success.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to address the committee? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of 3/26/13? Motion by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Frederick. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. Agenda item 4, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Brooke Infozino to the Workforce Development Board.
Good evening, Chair. Committee? It's time to bring the resolution to appoint Brooke Infozino to the Workforce Development Board. This is at the request of Todd Battle through the county exec to succeed him on the board. So it would be a switch from Todd to Brooke at his request. Brooke has a background in workforce development and nonprofits. And since her coming onto CAWA, she's been attending the workforce development meetings as a citizen. And the county and CAWA have been collaborating on several programs like Dream It, Do It, and Schools of Skills. So we do fully support this, and Brooke is here to answer any questions.
Is there any questions for Ms. Infozino?
Approve.
Second.
Motion to approve by Supervisor Noodle, second to approve by Supervisor Johnson. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. I do have one quick comment. I know that it's common practice for new appointees to come before this committee in order to be approved, but we like that. From now on, let's see if when we do that, we can ask them a question as opposed to just dragging them in here. So it's not a waste of their time and ours. Agenda item 5, informational item, upcoming individual company recruitments and career expo.
Again, good evening. This time I come before you as the Job Center Manager to let you know about some things that we have been doing and what's been coming up in Kenosha as far as employment and recruitment for employees in the community. You were given a packet when you came in. Front page is the newsletter from Business Services. I'm not going to go through the entire newsletter, but on the third page, I'd like to draw your attention to some of the events that we've had recently. We had a job fair February 26th at Mondragon Auditorium that was open to anyone from the public to come. Some of you will remember this day as we had a minor blizzard that afternoon. But even though we had that, we still had 35 employers looking for about 476 positions, and almost 600 people attended the job fair in that blizzard. So the candidates are out there, and the job fair was there for them. Employers liked the event, they liked the time. We had a pretty good attendance, and we were happy with that. One of the other events that we had was the W3 Speed Networking event. Now, this isn't advertised to the general public or the constituents from your areas. This is specifically for people that have been enrolled under unemployment compensation into the W-3 program. They're eligible for the program in their first 20 weeks of unemployment because it is a six-week program where they will receive $75 extra a week of unemployment. And the employer gets to try before you buy for 6 weeks to determine if that person's going to have the skills that they need. We set up a special speed networking event that we're looking to adopt in other programs where we bring a limited number of job seekers that have the skills together with a limited number of employers, and forgive the referral, but it's sort of like speed dating. Every 4 minutes, everybody gets up and rotates chairs. And it's just a quick event to know if the employers are matching with what the potential employees have, and then they can set up a more formal interview at a later date. And then last but not least, April 3rd, we held our Young Adult Job Fair in the Commons area and hallway of the Job Center, and again had a very packed house where we had almost 400 youth come in from all over the county to visit the 22 employers that we had this year, up from 14 last year. So a really great event that we look forward to doing every year during spring break. As far as on-site recruitments, this is the opportunity where employers can come in, utilize the services and space in the job center to do direct recruitment, interviewing, and orientation of people from Kenosha again. Last week we had the recruitment for Goodwill Great Lakes. As many of you know, we supply a lot of workers through Goodwill to go down to the Great Lakes Naval Base in their food service area. This time they were recruiting for shift supervisors. We knew that there was going to be limited qualified candidates for this, and so did Goodwill Great Lakes. There were 5 to 7 positions, and we had 11 people come in to apply. This is a temp-to-term position, or temp-to-perm, I'm sorry, that potentially about 3 of them are going to be hired on permanently beyond this year. The rate of pay is very low for this position, and you'll see the recruitment flyer that we had put out for that, $19.23 an hour. So even if it's temporary until the end of the year, it's life-sustaining. Just today, we had parallel staffing. They were recruiting for laborers, most of them for a company called Arvado, which does electronics packaging and shipping. We had 45 people in today that were seen by the employer and interviewed on the spot, given information on the available jobs, and the employer actually is scheduling to come back to do another recruitment. They were so happy. Coming up tomorrow, we have Aon Hewitt. It's an Illinois company that feels they've reached their potential of recruiting in Northern Illinois, so they asked to come in and recruit in Kenosha. We're doing this recruitment at the KCC, so out at Highway 45 and 50. Originally, it was supposed to be 2 sessions. You guys can see here that the pay is $16 to $20 per hour, and that's what was posted and put out. That remains the same, but we only had 6 people sign up to come to this recruitment. So the employer is actually not going to come now. They have sent us the PowerPoint and presentation, frequently asked questions, and met with our business services staff today, and our business services staff is actually going to do that recruitment for them and then send them the information. Lake County, in comparison, had this recruitment yesterday, and they only had 9 candidates show up. Again, this is a temp-to-perm position. The workers that hire on now will be there through December, but they're predicting about 30% of them would be hired on full-time beyond that. So, again, another good pay job that we thought we'd have a lot of people for. Unfortunately, we didn't. Now, the advertising for this was done by the company. It was done in the Chicago Trib. It was not done locally. So that is one thing that we're addressing with the company. Coming up in the next month or so, everybody knows that the old Target on 31 and 50 is being turned into Gordman's. Gordman's has contacted us. Across the United States, they're very involved with their workforce development boards. They're going to be holding a 2-week recruitment at the job center, and they've already started advertising locally for that. They're hiring just over 100 people. They'll be recruiting from May 27th through June 7th. We're going to give them use of a room for 1 week to do interviewing, and then we're giving them another week in another room to do orientations. That's going to be big. They're already running ads, and they're getting great response for that. So we look forward to having a good relationship with them. And then next, we have Excel Staffing that's coming in. They're working out the details right now. They're looking for skilled manufacturers. So we're going to see more stuff coming up. In the packet, you'll actually see several flyers, the examples of stuff that we put out. We emailed this. I'm sure some of you have gotten them. When we emailed them out, we post them in the job centers. We post them internally and externally with our partner agencies. So we're getting the information out there. We just got to get the people through the door. Last but not least, one of the biggest things that we have coming up is May 22nd, and that is the last flyer that you have. It says DWD at the top. they contacted the Workforce Development Board to discuss the potential for having a career expo like this held in Milwaukee and the Bay Area last year. They were having difficulty in finding a workforce development area that actually wanted to do this, and as soon as we received the call, we jumped on board right away. The state is burning their own budget, their own people, and we've rented the field house at Parkside. We're expecting over 100 employers and 12 to 1,500 participants or people coming to the door. The difference in the career expos compared to our regular job fairs is, first of all, this one is tri-county, so it's going to involve Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth. But in order for a person to attend, you'll see the second page of this is an admission ticket. People actually have to come to one of the job center locations that's on the first form, and they have to be pre-screened. They have to show evidence of having a good resume, the proper skills and soft skills needed for employers, as well as appropriate dress for a job fair. Once they go through the screening activities and they are successful in that, they'll receive one of these admission tickets that's printed out of a state database system, and they have to come to the job fair that day with this ticket, otherwise they will not get in. For people that don't do it in advance, we are preparing to do on-site screenings. Again, dressed appropriately, you have no children with you, you have the skills, you have a resume, and then you'll be issued a ticket that day. We're doing recruitments every Monday until the job fair out at the KCC. We're hoping that we can get help from the county board in spreading the word, especially the western part of Kenosha. We're doing it daily at the job center, 8600 Sheridan Road, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Come in anytime. You don't need an appointment. Just go to Employment Central and say that you want to be pre-screened for this career expo. It's going to be a great event. We're expecting a lot of political figures to be there. We're inviting all of you to be there. As we're expecting definitely the Secretary of Workforce Development, but possibly even the Governor or Lieutenant Governor to be down for this event. So really good things happening in Southeast and hopefully doing a lot to help the people that need it.
Are there any questions for Mr. Bartz?
Thank you.
I have a few.
Yes, sir.
One, since you're expecting us to go, will we be needing this, or how are we going to work that out?
No, the day of the event, we'll have plenty of volunteers there, most of whom know you as county board supervisors, and you will not need a golden ticket.
Golden ticket, okay. My second question is, I guess, because you all are so busy, I know that occasionally you do survey employers about what their results were from these, so I guess, what have you collected, and I guess what do you intend to collect thus far from some of your upcoming events?
You're asking about prior surveys and future ones?
Yeah. I know that there's probably some variance between events in terms of what you collect data-wise, and so.
We actually do two different surveys at every job fair. We do a job seeker survey, and we do an employer survey. Most of the data that we're asking from the employers is whether or not they felt the event was successful, whether or not the times, the locations, those types of things worked for them, and any suggestions they might have. We even ask them if they like the lunch we provide them, because most of the times we can provide them with the lunch. From the job seeker, we ask a little bit more detail. We get demographics, basic demographics. We don't want information that's going to be misconstrued as a HIPAA violation or something like that, but we'll ask general age range, general unemployment status, those types of things. A lot of our job fairs, we do have to ask what county of residence they are in, since a lot of our job fairs are open. So we'll get that. We draw people all the way from Milwaukee, Lake County, everywhere. Every event we do this, we have results available usually within about 72 hours of the event. I didn't bring any of them specifically with me. We just put down a couple of comments.
That's okay. I don't know how the rest of the committee feels, but maybe in a month or two. I don't know what you have in June, July, August, so I don't, you know, time-wise. But certainly from the results of these, if we could see some of that, you could come back to us, if that's all right.
That would be great.
That'd be greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions at all?
I do just have one question.
Supervisor Johnson.
So you had listed how many people showed up and how many companies were there. Do we have any idea how many positions were filled at all from the one that already occurred? Were employers happy with the...
Employers are generally very happy. We get a lot of comments about how employers will come to Kenosha rather than going to Racine or Lake County because of the customer service that they get from our business services department and all the staff that volunteer. Little Lady Foods was a very good example of that recently. They attended the Echo Lake job fair that was held after that disaster and actually came up to us during the event because we sent staff to support that and asked us when our next job fair was because they did not want to go to another event Racine.
Oh.
So we sort of pride ourselves on the level of customer service that we give to the employers,
mm-hmm.
and we'll
and they're finding the employees they're looking for in the pool that we have here? That's
probably the hardest thing that is for us to know because a lot of people that come to the job fairs are not participants of any programming because it is open to the general public.
Okay.
So when they're not participants, it's very hard to track that information as employers are not required to tell us and we do not have access to the unemployment system to
mm-hmm.
see how many people are coming off.
Have we ever thought about just asking them nicely, you know, send them a thank you. Thank you for participating. We were just wondering how it turned out for you or how it worked out for you. You know, just
it's a question that we ask and
follow
up regularly.
But you don't get much
Most
information.
Employers will give us just general information. At the last job fair, the youth job fair, we asked Great America because they were there, how much of your labor force do you think you hired at this event?
Mm-hmm.
And they put about 10%.
Okay.
Well,
They've got a big, well,
so
it must be doing well if they're flocking here. So,
yeah.
Good. They're good.
Any others? I had an additional one. The speed networking event that you have on page 3.
Yes, sir.
How exactly does that work? Could you give me a little bit of detail on that?
Sure. Have you ever been in Mondragon at Gateway? So you can envision the big rectangle. We had about, I believe, 12 tables set up in a square proportionate to the size of the gym or the auditorium there. And then we had a waiting area for the employees. We had about, I believe it was 8 or 10 employers there that were there. They sat along their squares. We had literally had a megaphone and a timer, a stopwatch. And we started the event, and every 4 minutes, we'd announce it was time
like
to
speed
move.
Dating.
And they'd
That's
get
what
up,
he said.
Rotate, and move. So
it's
very loosely based on speed dating.
Yeah.
But again, we had the same reactions from the employers. Nestle Foods actually came to that huge employer in Racine County, right on the border.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a Racine County employer, and they actually said that our event was extremely better than Racine's.
4 minutes is enough time for them to make an assessment?
It's enough time for them to make a judgment on if that's somebody they would want to speak to again. Most people, as we well know, most employers only take an average of about 30 seconds to look at a resume to decide if that would be somebody they would want to hire. 4 minutes in person, pretty sure they make the same judgment.
Didn't know that. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. I'll shut up now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 6, Department of Aging and Disability Services, the approval of the resolution to modify the 2013 budget to add Office of Justice Assistance Award for Crisis Intervention Team Training.
We're requesting approval for a $37,000 grant from the Office of Justice Assistance, and this is really a collaborative effort, a continued effort between our division and NAMI and Gateway and the Gateway Technical College and the and law enforcement. And the award will be used to provide crisis intervention training for law enforcement. but I'd like to have Jim tell you a little more about it because it's really exciting, I think, what Jim and Jack and others have been able to accomplish with the crisis intervention training and has shown real results.
Well, Jack, you want to pull up a chair, too?
Is that okay with the chair?
Sure, more the merrier.
I think probably, you know, this is our second time we've accessed this money, and I think it comes about probably because of a real constructive relationship we forged with the Law Enforcement Academy at Gateway Technical College, the Kenosha Police Department, Kenosha Sheriff's Department, a number of the smaller jurisdictions, and the Law Academy itself. So Jack and Ray Merlin at GTC and John Rohde, Sergeant John Rohde, Training Officer at KPD. And it's sort of crescendo. We have trained a number of people, but we have found that police really involve themselves when they get their pay, you know, when we reimburse their departments for pay. So that's the largest part of the grant. About $28,423 will go to Twin Lakes, the Sheriff's Department, Kenosha PD, UW Parkside, Silver Lake, and Pleasant Prairie to send, we're planning right now, about 20 people, although I think the last training we had, 24.
Yeah, but right now we're at 22, and that's a commitment from the law enforcement agencies as we went out and requested the grant.
The outcomes we're after is that officers will report that they feel better prepared to respond to individuals with serious and persistent mental health issues and crisis, that they can recognize the signs of psychiatric distress, that they acquire new skills to be able to de-escalate a crisis situation, and they know how to link or where to link individuals to appropriate resources. So this is all about getting our first responders more knowledgeable about our county-provided mental health system. And so I gave you a copy of what the curriculum looks like. That was at our first OJA-sponsored CIT. You can see it's a week long, goes throughout the day. There's a number of different speakers. We try to modify the schedule based on impact or input we hear back from the officers. One of them is a little bit more information on dementia and Alzheimer's.
Right. Well, if I may, one thing on that, we've changed the program, and they're starting to do it throughout the state now. But we get feedback from every day's session. And so you don't wait till the end of a five-day training and say, okay, before you leave, fill out your survey. So we found that this daily feedback has really helped us, and we continue to try to make the program better. Jim's reference to dementia, we have a huge issue with dementia, Alzheimer's, combative nature, and it's the law enforcement that will be answering the bell on the 911, whether it's at a nursing home, wherever the person happens to be. And so we're including an hour and a half slot on Alzheimer's and dementia in our next training coming up on the 16th through 20 September.
That's pretty much it. This will be the training will be funded in September. That's when the actual training will occur. We submitted a timetable. We're right on the timetable. After you do certain amount of these and the other community intervention partner training or crisis intervention partner training, you get real good at it. So I think the efficiency we put this together doesn't, it seems like we have less planning meetings, it's all come together. People know who we are now.
We have a good crew, if I may, and this crisis intervention partner is a two-day training. And the next one we have coming up for that is May 6th and 7th. And we already have 45 people on the class, probably the biggest, and got 11 people on the waiting
list. So in between,
that's a separate training for non-law enforcement, CIP training.
So by the end of this training, we would have hoped to have trained 105 law enforcement. After the next CIP that's coming up in a couple weeks, we'll be over 260 community partners. So Laverne and I are talking at a staff meeting the other day, and I had mentioned how I completely misjudged this community's thirst for knowledge about mental health and addiction, drug, and alcohol. You know, we would not have anticipated, you know.
Great response.
Questions? Dr.
Montgomery? Does Racine do this too or not? Or do they come?
Racine does, but they're part of. Here's one thing we'd like to crawl about.
Go ahead.
Not that I'd like to crawl.
No, go ahead. You said.
But we have another grant. It's called the Southeast Wisconsin Crisis Center.
It's a regional one.
Regional one. We're the only ones who use all of our money.
Whoa. That's wonderful.
You know, I think it has to do with the synergy of this community. You know, it's easy to put things together when everybody takes a share of the responsibility and nobody feels overwhelmed by it. Having the support of the school, Gateway Technical, having Jack call me, you know, our staff look forward to going to these trainings. The other thing I'd like to mention, which is invaluable to me, is you hear a lot of constructive feedback and criticism about the system we've developed. You know, when you get a bunch of police officers in the room, they're going to tell you what they think, you know, if what you describe to them is accurate or not. And so it's been wonderful to hear how accessible services are and, you know, to start to build that. The other thing I'd like to mention is when the officers get to meet the staff and the staff meet the officers, you start breaking down some of those barriers. You know, now they know who to call, and they do call. We had a call from the detention center from somebody who went to CIP training. We thought our crisis worker spent too little time interviewing a person. Now, constructive criticism, you know, and those are the kinds of things that I think we want to be about. You know, we want to get information out, but we also want to get information in about how we're doing. And we don't know if a lot of times when you're in public, people complain about things that happened 4 years ago, and it's difficult to identify all the players. But if you know, if you have that run lane, you can take a corrective action pretty quick.
Supervisor Dock.
So what kind of mix do you have between the city and the county and the Pleasant Prairie Police and the other police attending this?
Right now, before this next class, we've got 85 that have been through CIT. Of those 85, we have 50 patrol from Kenosha Police Department. That's 50 out of 199. And then sheriffs come in right about 21. And then we have a smaller distribution amongst Twin Lakes, Pleasant Prairie, and UW Parkside.
Thank you.
And I can get you those specific numbers.
Yeah, for this next training, Twin Lakes 1, Sheriff's Department 6, KPD 8, UW Parkside 2, Silver Lake 1, Pleasant Prairie 2.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you could get us that breakdown, past and you know future, what's expected, that would be great.
Because I know this will be asked on the county board floor. do you have any? I know you said you had feedback that is given to you. Do you have any written feedback? You know, notes from people or comments, so
we
know.
We have surveys from each class.
From the surveys, that would be wonderful if you could give them to us so we can.
I've gotten in the habit of watching, you know, the county board things.
Oh, no.
And so.
Been watching the drama.
I like to Google, let me say that personally. But
specifically everyone's from each one, or just, I just want to know.
Yeah, we do it two ways. We do it once a day. We do it once a day, and then we do it once weekly. And here are remember the objectives I asked you?
Mm-hmm.
Told you about those are the four objectives. So we're doing exactly what the grant.
Okay, this would be not that. Can you like scan some of these like really good ones in and send them our way? Because then we could send them when this goes to the county board floor.
Be glad.
That would be wonderful.
Let's count that. Somebody was asking me that.
What's even more impressive than the data and the program evaluations is to hear from the officers afterward. When they've actually used their skills, and when you hear them say that I responded differently than I would have in the past, that's really tells the tale.
It works.
Are there any other questions? I have just one. I'm going to presume as part of that, there's an estimation of the number of diverted arrests.
Yeah, that becomes part of a performance report that we are obligated to send to the Office of Justice Assistance. Those are very hard statistics to get, though.
But we have some from the, I'm on the Google and on the OJA website, and so I thought I would ask the question. But I presume we have those from prior trainings that we've done that we could probably utilize, maybe get a sense in terms of what might be expected with the upcoming trainings. No?
Yeah,
yes?
There's a number of different grants that measure that, but I'm not able to say that because we have a planning and evaluation person who does that kind of analysis.
If there is something, I would ask that you please send it along, both past and, you know, future anticipated, if that's possible.
Sure.
Supervisor Montemore?
The only other point, the sheriffs that you mentioned, police were up to already, what, 50% or 25% of them treated?
50 out of 199.
Right. So is sheriff a lot less than that, or are we similar? I don't know how many.
It's less. It's a less participation.
So maybe that'll be growing in the future.
But we hope to. But a point on CIT, the way it stands right now, it's a voluntary program. And so I think Sergeant John Rohde has really been a champion in the Kenosha Police Department. And he is really driving that train.
Do they get paid? I'm sorry.
They do.
Was there anything else? Supervisor?
No, that's it. They do get paid, though, right?
Right now, with this OJA grant,
they get paid to go.
Okay.
The last two classes are the first time that we have been able to provide backfill for overtime.
Okay.
So that's been a big plus for the law enforcement agencies in the county.
Okay.
To go a little further, I think you asked about the Sheriff's Department, the detention center and jail. I think of any one, we probably are most heavily attended. The CIP training.
Okay.
They're
so
one of our largest, especially
the
nurses at the jail, the detention center, the correctional officers, especially the dispatchers around.
That's good.
Supervisor Johnson?
Well, I was just going to say, do we know if it's because of resources that they couldn't, it's hard for them to get people into the program for a week? I know that they're busy. Do you know what I mean? Is that part of the reason, the scheduling? It's hard for them to schedule?
Well, it's part of it. And then you look at a class. And right now, if you have a class, you're really dealing with about 24 max officers at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you can look at the schedule of what we go through in 1 week, and that's about a good fit. Because a big part of it, at the end, we have role plays. And this last time through, we're continuing to learn. But we have probably the best role play that we've had since we've been doing it at Gateway. We have live interaction. We have two different scenarios going on at once.
Mm-hmm.
Each officer gets three different opportunities to go through one of these role plays. And that's key. And so that kind of limits the size.
Anything else, Supervisor Johnson?
No.
Supervisor Montemore?
I'm sorry.
We're just going to tag team.
I'm so sorry. I just thought of a great idea. Have you guys ever thought of having your program on taped or online that you could sell to them, you know, at a discounted?
The way it is right now, you need
okay,
the one-on-one.
Okay, that's right.
How
about the lectures? Could the lectures be taped to get
right,
this? Because
right.
Then maybe they could go to a shorter program, which is just the...
Right now, the way the program is, the integrity of the program, the fidelity of the program, it's set like that. And we go ahead, and to give you an idea of what this costs, we bring in probably one of the best psychiatrists in the state, in Dr. David Mays.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in at about $2,200 a pop. We have Dr. Eileen Abrams, who is a psychologist with the Milwaukee prison system. She comes to us at about $1,500. And so we want that one-on-one with the attendees and the speakers that we're bringing in.
One of the constructive criticisms, and I was sort of shocked by this because, like I said, we reviewed these after the next day. People wanted more, role modeling or role play. You know, usually, conferences, people don't like a lot of role play.
Well, they needed it.
These officers wanted, they actually do it in the sim city, the simulated city. So they have somebody in a street setting where there's traffic and how to protect the person from going out in the traffic, but still, there's another one where...
Suicide victim in an apartment or attempted suicide, vet in a bar scene who comes in and really gets out of hand. And you would be surprised, how close some of these people come to, you know, you really, you forget, I think, that you're in a role play sometime. So it's been very effective.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion by Supervisor Becker, second by Supervisor Frederick. Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Committee.
Aye.
Chair for the
time.
Thank you.
Agenda item 7, approval of resolution in support of alternative treatment courts to save state and local taxes. So this is a rehash, so to speak, of what we had at the last committee meeting. The chairman and I met, along with representatives of CUSH, to see if there was a way that we could address this so that there was less friction and that this was more appeasable to folks, and try to move this along. I know we had tabled this so that we could get judges and sheriff and everybody, but honestly, that's very difficult with their schedules. They're very time-consuming, and a lot of them have already been doing work in this area in a number of capacities, and it's out there in a variety of ways. So it's just easier, we felt, try to package it and address it this way. Also, because the state is considering the budget, the sooner we can get this out of this committee to the county board and out from the county board to the state legislature, the better. And so this has been submitted to you tonight for your approval. Any questions? Supervisor Martin?
I like it. I'm just going to ask ahead of time before we go to the board. Is there any place where we have any data that this has worked, you know? I mean, besides, I know there's a wealth of it, but is there a summary somewhere that we can provide? Is there a certain area that's doing this, that have these courts already?
A lot of what we've been doing in Wisconsin has really been driven by CUSH and to a certain extent what other states have done.
Uh-huh.
So you look at things like our Veterans Court, you look at things like our Drug Court.
Those
have really been the beginning seeds of this kind of thing. There's been a lot of thought and conversation that the state legislature would make a commitment and say, since we're doing things that reduce our jail populations and to a certain extent our prison populations, let's actually move money from corrections over to the human services area so that we can have really maximize the possibilities here in terms of what it is that we're trying to do. For reasons which are unknown to many of us, the political will hasn't necessarily been there to do that, but yet those conversations continue.
So there's no data for this yet?
There is data. I mean, it's a lot of it is stuff that we're already doing, and it's just trying to strengthen that commitment.
I'm because just thinking of the board, you know.
Yeah, no, much of what we're already doing, there's a little bit of state money that comes to do it, mm-hmm. but the bulk of it is actually coming from the feds.
And
that's in a number of states that that's going on, and that's mm-hmm. because those legislative bodies have not necessarily made, again, the political will hasn't been there to reallocate funding, and that's been the major issue.
I just want to say that I support this totally, okay? But I know, and I'm gonna vote to approve. But I know it's not gonna get through our board. I know that there's not enough specifics in it. It's gonna get picked apart, and I know that they're going to want statistics to show that it works. They're gonna want to see, and I mean, I know what this is, and I know. But we know what's going to happen when it goes to the board. It's going to get picked apart. I think. Okay. Yeah.
Supervisor Frederick, and then Supervisor Arrington.
Well, what I think is, if they go and take a look at other states, there's significant data to support this. However, if they start looking at Wisconsin, because this is such a new, is that any data that's been collected would probably be considered not to be insufficient data, because there's not enough of a sample size in order to it. But what we can also do is, if there's a discussion here, we have judges right now doing the drug court, doing the veterans court, doing the mental health court. Mm-hmm. Let them come in, talk to us, because if you're looking for hard data, that may not be present. But hearing from the judges on their thoughts, their opinions, of what they're seeing, you're going to get firsthand knowledge instead of just raw data with the numbers. You'll get real-life situations and real-life what they see. And maybe that'll be enough to convince them.
Supervisor Arrington.
Thank you, Chairman. I know where you're going with this, Supervisor Anita, and I'm going to go on the record and say it. I've been on Human Services every term that I've run for Kenosha County Board. It's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. See, at the end of the day, you have to cast aside the black and white, and you have to do the right thing. Everything is not always in black and white on paper and for you to be able to read a data sample about it. And whomever I need to say that to, they're going to need it. This is in the best interest of the people, okay? Because each and every constituent that will fall under these guidelines is deserving of this opportunity. See, we can't get into this, well, we're not going to support this because I don't see it in black and white. Hey, it's the right thing to do. I wanted that to be on the record. It's the right thing to do. That's why the people elected us as county board supervisors to do the best thing in the best interest of the people. And I wanted that on the record. It's the right thing to do. No, we don't have a data sample. No, it's not in black and white. And, you know, for all of our statistical reading supervisors, you know what? My message to you is it's the right thing to do. This thing should be voted unanimous on the floor, and it should go through, and I'm going to support it, and I'll have something to say about it when we take it before the board. Thank you.
Supervisor Montemurro and then Supervisor Johnson.
I totally, totally support it, and I'm just wondering for the non-supporters that could be, can we use the drug court data from Kenosha? Do we have that? Because the judge idea is a wonderful idea. If Judge Mary Kay Wagner comes and says how well, just that one statement today, that citizen statement, made my hair stand up. It was so wonderful, you know. But maybe we could use our own drug court data to as a step in to say, look what we've done here. Now we're going to do it here, you know. Because I 1,000% agree, mm-hmm. It is the right thing to do. And I don't want to hear them pick it apart because there's no data, you know. We have to start somewhere.
We can. Mind you, we just had, I believe, our first graduate out of our drug court program not too many months ago, if I'm not mistaken.
I think today's speakers were phenomenal, if I, you know.
And it doesn't have to be from here. We can get the data from elsewhere as well. And there are other programs similar to it in the country that we can pull data from. Like I said, I'm going to vote for it. I don't want it to not pass because it's going to get pulled apart.
Supervisor Frederick and then Supervisor Arrington.
Actually, what I'll do is I'll pass it to Supervisor Nudo because I was going to, we seemed to be saying all the same things. I was going to call a question, but he actually has probably something new.
Yeah, actually, I have a couple of questions. Okay, one is on what Supervisor Frederick said before, that maybe we can have one of the judges or somebody to come over and talk about it. That was discussed at the last meeting, that on May 21st, there was a meeting of the Kenosha County Criminal Justice, where everybody was going to be there. Was this discussed? And I think that was supposed to be brought to us. You know, that was supposed to be discussed and then say that whatever came out of it.
That meeting is in May, so that's still a month away. I know the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee, okay, though, has been supportive of every treatment court grant that we've submitted. So they supported the Veterans Court, the Behavioral Health Treatment Court, and certainly were the driving force behind our drug court, which has been in place now 3 years, Jim. So we can provide you with data from our local drug courts. I know there's national data that support the effectiveness of treatment courts. We can look at that and see if we can get you a quick summary paper that shows how the value behind these and why it is the right thing to do.
We're going to have a open house also. It'll be the last Wednesday of May because it's a national specialty court month. We're going to have our 7 graduates, invite them back. The program's yet to be developed, but what we'd like to do is a orientation and an overview of what Drug Court is, and then have the audience meet people who've actually graduated from it, and then have a group view an actual Drug Court session. So there's data out there. We wish we had more, but I think the kind of data you'd be interested in looking at each of the 4 phases and looking at the sobriety rates.
Yes, evidenced by your analysis.
Yes. How many people reoffend, and if they reoffend, is it a violent reoffense?
Exactly. That's what we want.
So, you know, we just had a graduate, and she reported that it took her 324 urine analysis to get through the program. So this is the kind of information that shows you that it is not hardcore, but it's really pretty intense. So I think the issue is, you know, packaging it, getting it out of the page summary so folks can see it. And then, frankly, inviting, you know, decision makers such as yourself to come to see our court.
Okay, the point I was trying to make, I'm not really trying to get any data itself. My first thing was that if we were going to wait until after the meeting, why was this brought up prior to the meeting with the criminal justice? And my other question is, the thing that I'm more concerned is, it's very unclear to me, maybe I'm the only one that does not understand this, but what do we mean by low risk? Low risk can be many, many things. So it doesn't really say what a low risk is. Also, it doesn't say whether it's for first timers, trying to give somebody a chance the first time, or is that for repeat offenders? I know even tonight when there was a gentleman here that was speaking about it, and I think he said he was caught the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. Well, how many chances are we willing to do it? Now, is it just the first time, or is it after that? That's the thing that I have problems with. And until this thing is clear, I'm not going to support it.
Okay. So, to answer both of those questions, as I explained in the beginning, to your point about low risk, all this is really asking is for the state to make a financial commitment to that which we, Kenosha County, are already doing. We are doing a drug court. We are doing a veterans court. We are doing a behavioral health treatment court, for which we have professionals that make assessments as to what folks would be good for those programs. We're using federal funds, very, very little state funds. There's no state law saying to our courts in Wisconsin, you have to provide this. There's really no state funding from state coffers to say, you need to provide this. There's really no legal commitment that the state has made to doing this beyond accepting federal funds and kicking in some state money. What this is saying is that this should really be a Wisconsin initiative, not just a federal initiative with a little bit of state money kicked in. That's what this is saying. And so because it's saying that, this goes to your first point about timing, is why we're not waiting a month for this committee who's already looked at these issues and been a part of these issues and is the reason why we're doing a lot of these things in the first place. Why we're not waiting for this to come from them is because we have a state legislature right now that's in the middle of budget deliberations. And so if we can get them now at this point and not wait to the middle of next month, when it will probably be too late, or pretty close to being too late, to shift money and make a financial commitment to doing this. That's why.
Awesome.
Yeah, Supervisor.
Okay, I still believe, I mean, when we had this at the last meeting, we knew the timing involved in it, and it seems like nobody had a problem with it. Now all of a sudden we got a problem with the timing about the legislation, which probably is, who knows when they're going to be meeting, you know, the joint services or anything. But again, I feel that we tabled the last time until we had more information and these things was cleared up. And actually, I'm going to make a motion to amend this, to table this again until more information is provided.
There's been a motion to table. Is there a second? Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Anything else?
I make a motion to approve it.
Second.
Motion to approve by Supervisor Frederick, second by Supervisor Arrington. Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Youth and Governance votes aye. Committee?
Roll call.
Aye.
Roll call vote has been requested. Ms. Davis, if you could please call the roll.
David Arrington?
Absolutely.
Angie Montemiro?
Aye.
Jimmy Johnson?
Aye.
Kim Udo?
No.
Aaron Decker?
No.
Barty Frederick?
Yes.
David Hallman?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The resolution passes. Agenda item 8, such other businesses authorized by law. Agenda item 9, committee member comments. Supervisor McClure.
I am trying to do an only teens program where we're getting the youth involved and trying to find a facility for them to have a place to spend time together where it's supervised in a safe environment. And we went to the county exec and they were helpful, and I just wanted to announce, and you're welcome to come, anyone. Tomorrow I'm gonna meet with the mayor over it too, so at 4 o'clock, and then we're gonna move from there. As it gets more cemented, I'll give you more information, but I'm excited to say that it's starting to get off the ground.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Any other committee members?
Thank you.
Okay.
So I just want to make a comment.
Supervisor,
I know there was a comment made before that if we're not going to have any questions, there is no need to ask any appointees to come in at the meeting. Well, I disagree with that, and one of the reasons is, number one is a few meetings ago, we're trying to make something a personal issue because we asked someone for an appointment to be tabled because the person was not here. And one of the supervisors, it wasn't me, even though I made the motion to table, one of the supervisors mentioned that had some questions on it. On the following month, the person did not show up and it was approved. On this meeting, one of the reasons, I'm going to keep on doing that, I'm going to request that the new people will show up. And the other reason is because I like to associate the face with the name. And I would like to see that, so I'm going to keep on doing that. That's just
a... I'd just like to add to that, too, that, you know, sometimes we can get all we need from looking at these, and sometimes we just have questions, and fortunately, you did such a good job when you stood up and you were talking about her. I think that he answered all the questions that we would have asked, because I think you're probably used to hearing the kinds of questions we ask. So I think that, you know what I mean? I don't think it's always a black and white thing where we may or may not, you know. I guess it's just, it kind of depends on the situation, if we need to ask questions.
I made that statement simply for the purpose that I don't think that we should be in the habit of doing things just because it's habit. We should do things with purpose. That is why I made the statement that I made. So, yeah, it would be great to see everyone's face, but we have their biographies. We have their, you know, employment histories. It is nice to associate a face with a name, but by all means, if we can ask them a question so that they have a reason to not be making dinner, not be hanging out with the kids or the family or going to the mall or doing something else that could potentially be more important than the 8 seconds they have to sit in that chair and talk to us, let's make their time useful. Let's make ours useful.
But if they're not committed to come meet us, then I don't want them on the committee. That's how I look at it. I think if we wanted to ask them a question, we would, but like she said, we had. But this is an important step of it. They have to get our approval, and quite frankly, that should mean something to them. They should be a little nervous and happy, and if we drill them, we drill them. If we don't, we don't. If not, then they don't really care about their position that we're putting them on. That's how I look at it. So I do think they should show that respect to us.
Anyone else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Udo, second by Supervisor Decker.
All those in favor?
All those in favor.
Aye.
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 You made every motion today, Aaron. You were here.